Overhead Door Company, the original garage door company, serving you for over 90 years. Call 843-767-0028 or overheaddoorco.com. Overhead Door Company of Charleston, proud to open hour two of the Morrow Midday Show. This is the Morrow Midday Show.
But wait, there's more.
On ESPN Radio.
Back again. Sadie's back. Tell a friend. Guess who's back? 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 Guess who's back?
Second hour of the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. We'll catch up with Paul Charchian in about 25 minutes to talk fantasy football and preview tonight's game, as well as the football weekend in the NFL. We'll also break down the Thursday night football game coming up in a little bit, because to me it's a really fascinating game. On paper, great matchup, Cardinals-Packers, one combined loss. In fact, as I mentioned earlier, it is the highest winning percentage we've had on Thursday night football for two teams this late in the season. Theoretically, based off of records, it's the best matchup in Thursday night football history since that became a thing. And there are some interesting trends, right? Because you've got the Packers traveling on a short week. You have Aaron Rodgers as a big underdog. We'll get to all that later on. It's a really interesting matchup tonight. We'll talk some quarterbacks next hour with Anthony Tresh from Pro Football Focus. Lee Sterling will join us an hour for his picks of the football weekend. And in just a few moments, James Franklin continues to leave the door wide open for USC. Also, I had, I don't know if I'd call it an epiphany, but I had some thoughts about Mike Tomlin from that audio we played on the show earlier this week when he addressed his name being mentioned in that USC job. So we got plenty to do here coming up throughout the afternoon. You can always join the conversation, 843-721-9500. To give us a call, you can always text the show, 843-608-1734. Get to us on Twitter at Morrow Middays or online. Head on over to charlestonsportsradio.com, click on our show page, and there you can leave a comment for the show. If you ever miss anything from the show, catch it on demand. Just search ESPN Radio Charleston however you listen to your podcast. Or the podcasts are also available online at charlestonsportsradio.com on our show page. Or through our free app. Just search ESPN Charleston in the App Store. By the way, before we get to James Franklin, let me remind you that the 9th annual Cox vs. Tigers Golf Tournament is coming up Wednesday, November 24th. It's the day before Thanksgiving at the links at Stono Ferry. And it is the tournament for all sports fans in Charleston every November. Check-in starts at 9 a.m. Shotgun start at 11 a.m. 36 teams and prizes for closest to the pin, longest drive, hole in one, and best dressed foursome. So come out dressed in your Carolina or Clemson gear. This will probably be more interesting than the actual game itself. Every foursome who signs up will receive the 9th annual Cox vs. Tigers t-shirt, as well as complimentary beer and soft drinks, lunch, and a barbecue dinner. And, of course, there'll be trophies for first place, second place, and last place. So I don't want to hear the excuses that you're not a very good golfer. You could still come out, represent your team, and even win something for being a lousy golfer. If that was normally the case, I would probably golf more often. ESPN's 9th annual Cox vs. Tigers golf tournament the day before Thanksgiving. And we may be out there. I don't know. Links at Stone Affair. I remember going back to, I think it was 2018, the Citadel started their basketball season the night before at James Madison. And then we came back. I had traveled all night. I was on. We were on in the mornings at the time, 10 a.m., and so I got back at something like 6, 6:30. Coach Brent Thompson was there to greet us when we got off the bus because he's an early riser, and he was out for like a run or a walk, or he was watching film, who knows. We get back to campus at like 6, 6:30, something like that. Coach Thompson's there. He laughs at me as I get off the bus because I'm, you know, half asleep, and I'm still in my suit from the night before. And then I went right to the golf tournament. I changed, went to the golf tournament, and, yeah, did a show that day on almost being up for whatever it was at that point, like 30 hours pretty much. I got a little sleep on the bus, but you don't get much sleep, especially that bus. We got the wrong bus. They gave us like Creedence Clearwater Revival's old tour bus. That was a brutal trip, and that was my first road trip at the Citadel, And the coaches would joke around, right? Hey, welcome to Citadel basketball. And a bad first impression. But, yes, I remember that going back a couple of years ago for that golf tournament. So looking forward to that coming up the day before Thanksgiving. As always, the 9th annual Cox First Tigers Golf Tournament. And you can sign up today over at charlestonsportsradio.com. Head on over to charlestonsportsradio.com and register today for that golf tournament coming up in a few weeks. So we were talking last hour and throughout the week about the USC-LSU jobs. And we played the audio from James Franklin earlier this week at his press conference in which he called Ohio State, this week's opponent, by the way, maybe the biggest game of the year for Penn State. I mean, they had a big one with Iowa a few weeks back. But this is a pretty big game going up against Ohio State. And it was ironic and humorous that he said, you know, we're very focused. He kept stressing that. Right now, I'm just focused on the opponent, right, when asked about the USC job. And yet, despite that focus, he called this week's opponent, instead of Ohio State, called them Illinois three times. Called the stadium the wrong name. So referenced it as the big house, like they're playing Michigan. And it seems like he's got something on his mind. Well, here was James Franklin. I guess the elephant in the room has become too large. That Franklin, at this point, just outwardly addresses the situation. And if you're a Penn State fan who doesn't want to lose James Franklin, he didn't do much yesterday to calm your fears. Here was Franklin talking with the media after practice last night. This is it's not the best quality. It's someone recording it from a little bit of a distance. But here's James Franklin talking last night about his future and some speculation about him maybe going to USC.
Yeah, I think it's fair. At some point, I'd love the guys to sit down with you guys over a beer and talk through all of this. Talk through all of this in detail, kind of how it goes, the challenging situations that you know coaches are put in sometimes, especially if you're trying to be honest and upfront with everybody. And that's something that's very, very important to me. I think I have shown my loyalty to this team, to this program, to this community. I think I've been pretty consistent with that. There's times that you're put in challenging situations, and I just always want to be able to, when I say something, it's done, and it's in stone. And when you're talking about the future, that can be challenging at times. So I am fiercely loyal to Penn State. I am fiercely loyal, most importantly, to these players and the staff. But there's a lot of moving parts with all of these things. There's a lot of moving parts, some of which we have talked about in the past. But at some point when it's appropriate, I would love to sit down with you guys and just kind of talk through college football, talk through these circumstances and these situations that come up. But, you know, I think your question is a fair one.
Franklin, last night after practice, addressing the rumors about him and USC. I mean, what kind of answer was that? That did nothing. If I'm a Penn State fan, if I like Franklin, and I know a lot of Penn State fans are unhappy with James Franklin. I mean, they've been he has a 500 record the last 2 years. They just lost to Illinois, so I know if Penn State fans maybe not be the most pleased with him right now. But if I do like James Franklin and I want him to stay, and I hear that clip last night, I don't feel very good about my coach sticking around. If I'm a player on that team, I don't feel very good. Right, what do I always say? If you're a coach, you have to deny, even if it's untrue. You have to go the Nick Saban route of I'm never going to be the Alabama coach. You have to say things like that, even if it's a lie. But in this case, I mean, no sort of denial at all. Franklin just openly talking about, hey, it's kind of like the life of a coach. You know, this is a situation. I'll explain it when we have a better time. But it's very much James Franklin seems very interested in going to USC. He also changed agents this week, by the way. Franklin is either going to be the next coach of the Trojans or this is all a ploy to get a big-time raise out of Penn State. Because the team, as I mentioned, they've been 500 the last 2 years. They just lost to Illinois. That was a bad loss. They're probably going to get blown out this week against Ohio State. So really, James Franklin, his stock shouldn't be that high. But if Penn State likes him and they don't want to lose him, and now he's kind of openly talking about, at least flirting with the idea of going to USC, he just switched agents to the powerful Jimmy Sexton. If nothing else, maybe this is all like a long con just to get a huge deal, even more money out of Penn State. Or at this point, he really is interested in USC, and he's right now kind of laying the the groundwork, the foundation of when he eventually bails in a few months, few weeks to that program. I think he's high up on the list of USC. I would think there'd be mutual interest there, and I think very much he could be the next coach of the Trojans. But this week hasn't been a great week for Franklin. Between the loss Saturday and then the awkward press conference where he seemed distracted, and then now yesterday just kind of coming out and saying, like, yeah, you know, that's the life of the college football coach. I may leave. I would be interested in other possibilities. Meanwhile, Mike Tomlin has gotten a lot of attention this week for how he handled questions about his name being brought up with the USC job. We played this clip on the show after it happened, but I want to bring it back because something dawned on me. And it may be way off base, but I was thinking about something with this clip. Let's first hear from Mike Tomlin once again when he was asked about the USC job the other day.
Guys, I don't have time for that speculation. I mean, that's a joke to me. I got one of the best jobs in all of professional sport. Why would I have any interest in coaching college football? That'll be the last time that I address it. And not only today, but moving forward. Never say never, but never. Anybody else got any questions about any college jobs? There's not a booster with a big enough blank check. Thank you. Anybody asking Sean Payton about that? You know, anybody asking Andy Reid about stuff like that?
Mike Tomlin, when asked about the rumors or his name being mentioned for the USC job. Now, I don't think Tomlin would leave the Steelers for USC. I don't think he is interested. I don't think he would really be, you know, even get to an interview, nothing like that. I don't think he's going to be a real candidate this year. But I was thinking about it afterwards, yesterday, driving around, I was thinking, you know, did Tomlin sound a little defensive there? He references the other coaches. How come you don't ask the other coaches? I know a lot of people are talking about Tomlin maybe being defensive because that comment was the fact that Tomlin believes he's not viewed the same as an Andy Reid or a Pete Carroll. He was saying that because, you know, his point being, you wouldn't ask them about it. Why are you asking me? I'm a good NFL coach. Why would I leave to go to college? Maybe that was the case. Maybe that's what he was getting defensive about. But usually when you get defensive about something, it's because, you know, it strikes a chord. If I say, it's what they always used to say, like if you used to get bullied, right? Don't let them know it bothers you because then they're just going to keep going at you. That same thing that they know bothers you. That's what gets a rise out of people. So when you're bothered by something, right, that's when you usually get defensive. Otherwise, if you don't care about it, if there's no truth to what somebody is saying, right, you let it roll off your back because you don't care. It's not true. But if somebody says something to you and there's some truth in it, that's when you typically get defensive. It'd be like, and by the way, Tomlin's name being brought up for the USC job is a compliment that he's a good enough coach, right, that they would be interested in him in hoping that they could get him for that job because it is a top job in college football. It's not like we're talking about rumors about him getting fired in Pittsburgh. That's a negative. This would be like a positive that a big brand in college football, one of the biggest jobs in college football, would be interested in you. Out of all the NFL coaches, you're the one name that was brought up. I think that's a compliment. And so it'd be similar to like if you ask somebody, you know, if they were juicing, you ask an athlete or a buddy of yours who is, you know, works out a lot and he's all buff and you ask him, like, you know, you taking anything? You juicing? And if they know they're clean, they're not doing anything, and they just work out a lot, and they're disciplined, what do they care? They'll roll off their back. In fact, they'd probably take it as a compliment because it kind of is. Right? If you ask somebody if they're taking steroids, it's because you can't believe that they look that good naturally. All their hard work is paying off that much. So if somebody comes to you, and you work out a lot, and you're buff, and they ask you, like, you know, you taking something? What are you doing? How are you doing this? That's a compliment. They're wondering. They're shocked. Like, how are you pulling this off? You look great. But if somebody gets defensive, somebody gets bothered by you asking them, right, and they start, how could you think, yada, 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 going on and on, right, maybe they're getting defensive for a reason. Maybe they are actually using some sort of supplement or performance enhancer that they shouldn't, right? And they get defensive because we get defensive when somebody brings up something that's typically true. Or you get defensive when you've had enough, right? You get a robocaller calling you every day about your car warranty. The first time they call you may not be a big deal. But when they call you every day for 2 weeks, right, even though you know it's a scam and you're not, it's not like you're defensive because it's not like you have to actually worry about your car warranty, but you've just had enough, you're fed up. But that's not the case here. This was the first time Tomlin was asked about it. If he was getting asked about this every week, I would understand that response. I don't think Mike Tomlin would become a serious candidate for USC. I don't think he would consider it. But I was thinking about it yesterday, and I was thinking, you know, when do you get defensive? Mike Tomlin seemed a little defensive there. And usually, we all do. It's human. You get defensive when you feel like you have to go on the defense when someone strikes a chord with you, when they get to some sort of truth, some sort of accuracy. What they say may not be entirely true, but there's something there that and you got to kind of defend yourself. If you really didn't care, if there was nothing to it, you kind of let it roll off your back. If somebody accuses you of something and you know it's so off base, you probably don't care. What do I care what this person thinks? They're way off. I know I didn't do that. They're way off base. But if somebody accuses you of something and you're guilty of it, that's when you may get defensive. I don't think Tomlin would be a serious candidate, but I do find it interesting that he got so worked up over that. Maybe it was more about he felt a disrespect. He was being disrespected that reporters would think he'd be willing to leave the NFL for USC, and yet they wouldn't ask other coaches that. But something bothered Tomlin there. He got very defensive. Maybe it is the fact that he is actually interested, and he doesn't want you to know. How about that for a conspiracy theory on a Thursday? When we come back, we'll hear from Dabo Swinney, who said, enjoy Clemson's lack of success now while you still can. We'll get to that next. It's the Moore Midday Show here on ESPN Radio.
It's Throwback Thursday.
What's today? It's Thursday. Really? Feels like Tuesday. Tuesday has no feel. Monday has a feel. Friday has a feel. Sunday has a feel.
I feel Tuesday and Wednesday.
All right, shut up, the both of you.
On the Morrow Midday Show.
Coming up, we'll hear from Dabo Swinney. Some comments from his coach's show about, kick Clemson while you can. Kick them while they're down because it's not going to last. Enjoy it while you can because this lack of success will be fleeting for the Tigers. We'll catch up with Paul Charchian coming up in just about 6 minutes. Talk about this weekend of NFL football and help you set your fantasy football lineup. Break down tonight's intriguing matchup between the Cardinals and the Packers. Clemson obviously not having the season that they expected. Earlier, I talked about how college football, for all the chaos we've had this year, we're still probably going to end up with the usual suspects at the end of the season. But the one exception really has been Clemson. They've been the real disappointment. The ACC has been the one conference that has not held up its end of the bargain in all the chaos. Even with all the upsets and the surprises, it's still Georgia and Bama right now at the top of the SEC. Ohio State may not have the best record, but they have the highest ranking. They're believed to be the best team in the Big Ten. Oklahoma in the Big 12. Oregon in the Pac-12, but the Pac-12 being ignored. Cincinnati leading the group of five still. And then the ACC, I don't know why I said it like that, the ACC. Clemson, Miami, and UNC, where are you? Meanwhile, it's about Wake Forest and Pittsburgh. That's the one conference that has been turned upside down in all this chaos. Now, Dabo, on his coach's show, said, enjoy it while you can. Kick us while you can. Kick us while we're down now because we're going to be back. Here's what Dabo had to say.
I want everybody to just relax. I want everybody to keep some faith, all right? And I want to challenge everyone to really kind of check their perspective. If you don't believe in this coaching staff and this team, and the culture that we have at Clemson, after what everybody has lived through over the last whatever, then you probably really didn't believe in the first place, all right? And we have a great group of young men that fight their butt off. And we've stunk on offense this year, and there's no question about that. And it's not, we haven't forgotten football. We know the issues. All right, and we're going to get better, and we're getting better.
That was Dabo talking about his Tigers and the struggles this year. Interesting game at Florida State on Saturday, because you wouldn't think much of it normally. Clemson's won six in a row. They've been blowouts. And Clemson's favorite, I'm still surprised. I talk about this every week with the Tigers. I thought things changed heading into the Pittsburgh game. I think they're still overvalued in Vegas. They're favored by 10 against Florida State. They haven't beaten anybody by 10. In the ACC. They don't score enough points to beat a team by 10. They haven't scored over 20 points in regulation all year against an FBS team. So do you think we're looking at like a 21-10 game here and they cover the 10 points? That's way too much for a team struggling this much on offense. And Florida State, you know, Florida State lost to Jacksonville State. They started the year 0-4. They've had some issues with Mike Norvell. You probably stopped thinking about Florida State. But more recently, they're 3-0 here in the month of October. They went to UNC and beat them by double digits. And in the month of October, they have the best yards per carry. Now they're going to be tested trying to run the football against that Clemson defense. But they, Syracuse had some success. Florida State has the best rushing attack over the past month in college football, the most efficient. And the big thing when they were 0-4 to start the year were turnovers. They were turning it over left and right. Now they're playing better football. They're taking care of the football. They're being able to run and move the football. They're scoring more points now than they were in the first four games. They've scored more points in regulation the last three games, three wins, than they did in any of their first four losses. So Florida State is playing better. And they're going to come to Clemson on Saturday, and the Tigers have this struggling offense, benched their quarterback last week, but the Tigers also have, you know, haven't lost at home in a very long time. They've won, 31 straight at home? I'd feel a little bit different if this was down in Florida compared to at home for the Tigers. But I'm surprised that they're still 10-point favorites. I don't think they score enough points to beat anybody by double digits in the ACC right now. But if you listen to Dabo, right, keep the faith. It may be a down year, but enjoy it while you can, because every message you've heard from them, they expect this to be short-lived and the Tigers back to their usual ways next season. We'll see how they do against Florida State, though, on Saturday. It's a sneaky, interesting matchup with the way Florida State has played the last few weeks. When we come back, there's a really good matchup tonight to start the NFL weekend, Packers-Cardinals. We'll talk about it with Paul Charchian and preview the full weekend of NFL football, help you set your fantasy lineups as well. Charch joins us next. It's the Moore Midday Show here on ESPN Radio.
Spend lunch with Luke.
Attention campers, lunch has been canceled today due to lack of hustle. Deal with it.
On the Morrow Midday Show.
Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio on a throwback Thursday. Why not throw it back to the first music video on MTV 40 years ago? I take offense to this song. Every Thursday we talk fantasy football. We help you set your lineup. We preview the weekend of NFL action with a great Thursday night football game tonight, at least in terms of the standings. And we do it all with Paul Charchian, one of the best when it comes to fantasy football. Follow him on Twitter at Paul Charchian. And check out GuillotineLeagues.com for Charch's free player rankings, or to join a Guillotine League today. GuillotineLeagues.com. Paul's with us now. Paul, good afternoon. How are you?
Great. Nice to talk to you. You've got a lot of drama in tonight's game.
Yeah, you know, it may not be on the matchup may not be as, sexy, for lack of a better term, as a couple of days ago with some of these players out, but still – you get one loss between the two teams, Rodgers versus Kyler Murray. So let's dive in with this one tonight. For the Packers, without the two of their top receivers, how do you like this matchup from Green Bay's side for Rodgers down a couple of weapons on the road, short week? What do you think about Green Bay tonight?
Yeah, I'm nervous about starting Packers in this one. So what we know for sure is that Adams is out, Lazard is out. Adam Schefter's reporting that MVS will not go in this game. So that means they're going to be attacking what's turned into a pretty good Arizona secondary with Equanimeous St. Brown, rookie Amari Rodgers, and Randall Cobb in the slot. Those are all negative matchups for Aaron Rodgers. And then you might think, okay, well, they'll throw to Robert Tonyan, who should, in this theory, in this situation, be a go-to option for Rodgers. But the Cardinals have been masterful against tight ends, allowing an average of 3 catches for 22 yards to the position, and they haven't given up a touchdown to a tight end all year. So that might not work out. They're not going to get their center, Josh Myers, back. David Bakhtiari is maybe not going to go. We don't know. He didn't go last week. It's a short week. He probably doesn't play in this one either. So I've got Aaron Rodgers down at quarterback 15 in my rankings. And that puts him under guys like Teddy Bridgewater, Daniel Jones, Carson Wentz. I mean, guys you could pick up off the waiver wire who have, they all have very, very favorable matchups that I think you've got more upside and maybe even a safer floor, because with these receivers in this setup, it's possible that Aaron Rodgers, look, he could throw four touchdowns and nobody would be surprised. But in this scenario, like a zero or one touchdown game is certainly possible, because he just doesn't have the weapons on the field to get much done.
Yeah, it's like he'll be playing with, you know, an arm tied behind his back tonight against the Cardinals. On the flip side, this Packers team, they'll be without their defensive coordinator, last I saw, because of the COVID stuff with Green Bay. Yep. And this defense, I still have questions about this defense. 19th most yards allowed per drive. So for Arizona, we know about their offense. Do you like this matchup for them against Green Bay?
Yeah, I love it. You know, this is a thin secondary, you know, without Jair Alexander, who's the, you know, he's really the quarterback of that secondary. So they don't have him. And then mix that in with Kevin King, who's awful, may come back, but it's almost subtraction by addition with Kevin King on the field. And then, you know, Kyler Murray can attack you so many ways, right? So you can look back up for a pass. You can look left. There's DeAndre Hopkins. You can look across the middle of the field. Oh, there's Zach Ertz or Christian Kirk or Rondell Moore. And you look right and there's AJ Green. And or you could pass if you want to. You know, Chase Edmonds is a great pass catcher. You can pass him. You have so many options for Kyler Murray. They can attack you so many ways. And that's, they'll just stretch this secondary too thin. They've been able to mask some of the deficiencies in the secondary, but I don't think you can mask it against Kyler Murray. And what's fascinating about Murray, Luke, he's not running anymore. And he's in the MVP conversation entirely because of what he's been able to do with his arm. His last three games, he's run for 1 yard, 6 yards, and 10 yards. That's it. Yeah. I mean, that's like Tom Brady rushing numbers right there. So, you know, I love that Murray has just become this good of a passer, and where he's using his mobility is behind the line of scrimmage on rollouts. And he's rolling out, even against the grain, rolling left, and just throwing daggers around the field. And I love that about Murray. And that's going to be another reason why I like Arizona to win this game. And I still like almost all of your Cardinals, including James Conner, who's got 6 rushing touchdowns in the last 5 games.
Yeah, should be interesting tonight. Let's move to this weekend as we talk with Paul Charchian, as we do every Thursday on Twitter at Paul Charchian. Let's zero in on a couple of games this weekend, including Sunday Night Football, Cowboys-Vikings, highest point total of the weekend. We know the Cowboys' MO. Their defense will allow some yards and points, but they'll also try to score some points. Dak's coming off this apparent injury. The Vikings are without Patrick Peterson. So I'm just going to tee you up here for this matchup. For the, you know, highest over-under, do you see some good opportunities here on both sides from a fantasy perspective?
It should be the highest over-under. There's tons of points coming in this one. For all the talk about Trayvon Diggs and the amazing streak of 6 games of 6 interceptions, it's awesome. Nobody's talking about the fact that he's given up the second most receiving yards in the NFL. That's Trayvon Diggs, same guy. And, you know, at the end of the day, you know, the interceptions are great, but you're paid to stop the opposing team from passing on you. That's Trayvon Diggs. And who's giving up the most? I said he was giving up the second most yards. The most yards allowed is the Cowboys' other cornerback, Anthony Brown. So here comes Thielen and Jefferson with plus matchups on both sides of the field. And, of course, they've still got Dalvin Cook. There's going to be a ton of points here. And crusty old Mike Zimmer is finally allowing Kirk Cousins to throw the ball. Last 2 years, he averaged 30 passes a game. Kirk Cousins sitting at 40 passes per game right now, which is near the top of the league. And when you give Kirk that many passes, good things are happening. And that's why I still like Thielen. I like Jefferson, KJ Osborne in a pinch. And there are plus matchups all around the field for the Vikings. Same thing on the other side. Vikings are going to be without 2 pivotal members of its defense. Patrick Peterson's going to be gone. CeeDee Lamb runs from that side of the field a lot. And the Vikings are going to be flipping their backup other side of the field cornerback, Cameron Dantzler, to that side of the field. It's all plus matchups over there. And then also the Vikings lead run stuffing nose tackle, Michael Pierce, is going to be out. And here comes Ezekiel Elliott. So it just feels like it's going to be like last team that holds the ball, back and forth, 35-36 kind of game.
Yeah, should be a fun one on Sunday Night Football and Halloween, no less, there in Minnesota. You know, in these parts, it's always an interesting matchup when the Falcons and the Panthers get together. The rest of the country may not care, but around here, there are a lot of people interested in that game. My question would just be, when it comes to the Panthers, the way Sam Darnold has played, they've lost four in a row. McCaffrey's obviously still out. Are you just selling? Are you punting on all Panthers right now? Is there any Panther worth trusting with the way Sam Darnold has been playing?
Well, you know, Darnold, it's been bad for Darnold. You know, part of it's not entirely his fault. This is a bad offensive line that doesn't protect him very well. And Robbie Anderson, can you catch a damn pass? Good God, man. It's nuts. Somebody's telling me this stat, and I'm not going to get it perfectly, Luke, but it's in the ballpark. His last 25 targets have yielded 25 yards. It's nuts. Yeah, so he's not getting help there, and obviously not having Christian McCaffrey, but just puts a ton of emphasis on Darnold, which he hasn't been able to overcome. I worry that the kid's psyche is just broken at this point, and that part is unfortunate. Can we talk about same game, fascinating matchup coming? Kyle Pitts, over the last 3 weeks, leads all tight ends in receiving yards, despite the bye week. And so he's been great. The one-headed catch down this left sideline was awesome.
Yeah.
But get this, Carolina's got their utility safety, Jeremy Chinn. And when tight ends line up in the slot, that's his assignment. So I went back and looked at every single pass between Jeremy Chinn and a tight end in the slot. Chinn is allowing per game averages to tight ends, one catch for 7 yards,
wow,
no touchdowns.
Mm. Yeah, so
unbelievable.
Yeah,
I mean, what a great matchup this is going to be. I can't wait to see how this plays out.
Yeah, yeah, two strengths there on Sunday for Kyle Pitts, who's been so good, and a tough matchup for him in that one. Along the same lines with the Falcons, I know I asked you a couple of weeks ago, but now we're a couple of weeks further. Cordarrelle Patterson, are we buying high now that we've got more information? Do you think Cordarrelle keeps this up here for the rest of the year? Can he be trusted to be, you know, a starting running back for the rest of this season?
Well, they're phasing Mike Davis completely out of this offense.
Yeah.
It's amazing that it's come to this. I mean, I had assumed that Davis would have a certain amount of safety here, that they wouldn't want to workhorse Cordarrelle Patterson. And maybe they still won't. But Patterson has now, last week, he was up to 73% of the snaps.
Hmm.
And we saw a season low 60% for Mike Davis, and Davis barely touched the ball. So, yeah, I at this point, Patterson's an every week lock starter, and what he's doing is, it's unprecedented.
Yeah.
30 years old, a special teams ace who many teams have tried. We had Bill Belichick try this. We had the Vikings try this. We had the Bears try this with Cordarrelle Patterson to give him run at running back. This is the first time it's ever worked, and it's working shockingly well. And we're in uncharted territory, but let's just enjoy the ride because it's so much fun.
Yeah, Arthur Smith is finally figuring him out. I was having a conversation earlier this week as we currently talk with Paul Charchian about this weekend in the NFL and helping you set your fantasy football lineup. He's on Twitter at Paul Charchian. I was talking with a friend this week who said he's going to sell high on Deebo Samuel because of that quarterback situation in San Francisco. Is that a crazy idea? Do you think, regardless, Jimmy G, Trey Lance, that you can still count on Deebo Samuel to continue to be a top receiver the rest of the way?
Yeah, I think you can. I love the talent. I think the only reason to sell Deebo, by the way, the second highest scoring fantasy wide receiver, Deebo Samuel.
Yeah.
I think the only reason I would end up shipping him is just because he's always been hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And you could say, you know what? This is like lifetime of Deebo Samuel. This is the as good as it gets. And I want to sell at a high water mark for Deebo Samuel. And that'd be a defensible position, but we've seen every game he's been good. Even when it's Trey Lance, even when there's a switch mid-game in quarterbacks, he's getting it done. And they don't have other viable targets to throw to. Brandon Ayuk's regressed badly. The whole passing offense goes through Deebo Samuel, and he's up for the task. So another positive matchup this week against Chicago secondary that's been bad. He's my number 5 ranked wide receiver this week. I still love him, but you can make a case that you always want to sell at an all-time high for a player, and that's where we are for Deebo Samuel.
You know, the Chiefs are maybe the biggest disappointment right now in the NFL. They're surprised so far, and you know, fantasy football can differ from the actual games on Sunday. So when it comes to Kansas City, the team hasn't been great, but outside of turnovers, I know they've gotten a lot of production on offense. So my broad question would just be, where are you on the Chiefs right now? Obviously not having the start they're having, but from a fantasy perspective, are we still all good with all the Chiefs?
Mostly. I mean, you know, Patrick Mahomes has still been really good. He's still top most scoring systems. He's a top three or four fantasy quarterback. And you're right. It's different. NFL's different than fantasy that way. So, I mean, Mahomes is still getting a lot done. But the play is obviously not the same for him. If you lose points on interceptions, Patrick Mahomes has thrown interceptions in six straight games. He had six picks all last year, and he's had six straight coming into this one. And there has been some trickle-down problems for his receivers. Tyreek Hill has had four dud games, scoreless in less than 63 yards. We're not used to having that out of Tyreek Hill at all. So there have been some problems here, and I think we've gotten to a point now where you have to start paying attention to the matchup, who they're playing. Do you have a better backup? And for Patrick Mahomes, I got him ranked sixth this week, so I still like him. But it's not an automatic that you set these Chiefs players into your lineup and just let her rip every single week. You're going to have to start being a little bit smarter about it and paying attention to other alternatives you might have.
Let's end with the two questions I ask you every week. First, for people that need to plug a hole this week, do you have a couple of sleepers for this weekend?
Why, yes, I do. Daniel Jones goes up against this same Kansas City team. It's a perfect segue. Only Washington has allowed more total touchdowns to quarterbacks than Kansas City. Daniel Jones may get back Kadarius Toney, Sterling Shepard, Kenny Golladay, some combination of those guys. They match up very well against the inconsistent Kansas City cornerbacks. Chiefs are allowing the most quarterback rushing attempts for the most yards and the most touchdowns. And that's a great trifecta for Jones, who is a very capable runner. And I think he's going to help you on the ground and through the air. So I like Daniel Jones as my sleeper quarterback. And at running back, Cincinnati backup running back Samaje Perine plays against the Jets. Jets are getting obliterated by opposing running backs. They're giving up 36 touches for almost 200 total yards. Both are worst in the NFL. Joe Mixon, who's sitting on a giant game, is not going to get 36 touches for 200 yards. Some of it's going to go somewhere else. And probably in a blowout, you're going to see a lot of Samaje Perine in the second half of that game, and he's going to vacuum up the leftovers. And I like Samaje Perine as a sneaky play.
Lastly, as I always ask you, on the flip side, a big name that you may not like the matchup. I know you've already mentioned a couple, but a big name that you don't really like the matchup here this weekend.
Yeah, I'm going to take Ben Roethlisberger as he goes up against Cleveland. Denzel Ward and cornerbacks Denzel Ward and Greg Newsome have been really good. Ward's giving up 33 yards per game. Newsome's giving up 23 yards per game. Man, that's pretty great. Now, elite passers have gotten it done against Cleveland, you know, like Mahomes and Herbert and Kyle Murray. But Ben Roethlisberger's not at that level anymore. So he's a guy I think I'd throw a little caution on right now and maybe – you know, maybe just be careful on that one a little bit. And then how about in your neck of the woods? Chuba Hubbard worries me a little bit. Atlanta's run defense has actually gotten to be pretty good. They're giving up just 82 yards per game. And so, you know, maybe Chuba Hubbard just isn't going to get enough work here. You can just pass so much easier on the Falcons than you can run. So, yeah, maybe he's a guy that we tread lightly on, Chuba Hubbard.
Sounds good. He's Paul Charchian on Twitter at Paul Charchian. Check out guillotineleagues.com for his free player rankings or to join a guillotine league today. They're building new leagues every day. Charge, appreciate it. As always, we'll catch up with you next
week. Thanks, Luke. Yep. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Pleasure's all ours. One of the best around in fantasy football, Paul Charchian. Check out guillotineleagues.com because, as I mentioned, they got new leagues all the time that you can join in, and it's a very fun premise. Different than your usual fantasy league. Lowest scoring team gets chopped every week. Players are then put on into free agency on the waiver system where you bid on them. Last team standing, of course, wins. It's a lot of fun. GuillotineLeagues.com has free player rankings there as well. Appreciate the time, as always, from Charge. Could be an intriguing matchup for the Panthers and Falcons, right? And two teams battling for last place, but fairly even and a big game. For the Panthers, four straight losses. You got to win eventually. Darnold has to play better. And this is a good matchup for Darnold to try to pick it up against this Falcons defense. As Charch just said, they're more vulnerable through the air. And then on the flip side, the Falcons have been playing pretty well these last couple of weeks, led by Kyle Pitts. But this is now the toughest matchup for Pitts this season. in his rookie year going up against the Panthers. And the Panthers are pretty good against the run. So, you know, that defense has been solid. They've been allowing a lot more points lately. Without Christian McCaffrey, it has affected the defense as well. But still, could be a little bit of a tough matchup for the Falcons against that defense. It is in Atlanta, so it'll be an interesting game. Two teams trying to keep pace in the NFC South, and the Panthers trying to snap that losing streak. When we come back, we'll break down tonight's Thursday night football game. Based off of winning percentage, it's the best matchup we've ever had on Thursday night football. I'll give you my official pick tonight and where I'm leaning, and we'll break it all down when we come back. It's the Moore Midday Show here on ESPN Radio.
Spend lunch with Luke.
Yo, what up?
What's the word, big fella? Everything's good on this end.
Hey, Luke, how's it going? Thanks for having me on the show.
Hey, Luke. Hey, man. Pleasure to be on your show.
I'm doing great, but I'm hoping you could call me Boca Baby.
Great show. You're doing a good job.
You're turning into rapidly my favorite person I've interviewed with, and I've done like 50 of these in the last week.
You've done your homework. I like it. I absolutely like it. I love that.
Another great thought.
You've done your homework, haven't you? Good job.
You're always getting these big stars and important people on. That's great to hear. We like to hear the interviews.
You know, it's uncanny how you do this, Luke. And I don't know how you do, because I do this gauntlet of radio on Thursdays, where I do all these different cities. Many of them need their hosts to have me give them some talking points. You hit all my talking points every week. It's uncanny how good you are.
Always great talking football with you, Luke. Appreciate you guys being right.
Very impressive.
Shout out to all the people in Dawson that support the show.
Tell your friends. Tell your friends.
Da 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 da. Da 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 da. Go ahead, boy. That's why you bring it on.
Is this a sports show or a dancing show?
I don't know. Sometimes I don't know what we're doing around here.
Lunch with Luke for 3 hours, anything goes.
On the Morrow Midday Show.
Coming up, we'll break down a very interesting Thursday night football matchup between the Packers and the Cardinals here on the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow on ESPN Radio. Appreciate the time. Last segment from Paul Charchian, who joins us every Thursday to preview the NFL weekend and help you set your fantasy football lineup. If you ever miss anything from the show, you can always catch it on demand. Just search ESPN Radio of Charleston however you listen to your podcast. We'll catch up with Lee Sterling in 10 minutes at the top of next hour for his picks of the weekend. But I give you a pick for every primetime NFL game, Monday Night Football, Thursday Night Football, I guess technically not Sunday Night Football, but any standalone game when we're on the air, I give you a pick. And we're having a lot of success this year, knock on wood so far, with our picks. 57% on the year, 14 games over 500, and more recently, 14-2 in the last 16 picks I've given you on air. Nailed Monday Night Football last week, Monday Night Football this week, Thursday Night Football last week, plus the point total. So, what would that be, 7-1 if you include Friday in the last 8 NFL picks? All that to say, I'll give you my official pick for this game in just a moment. But it's a very interesting matchup between the Cardinals and the Packers because, as I've been saying all afternoon, it is the best winning percentage that we've had in a Thursday night football game in the history of Thursday night football. The Packers are 6-1. The Cardinals are 7-0. We have never had a matchup like this with two teams with those good of records this late in the year. But there's a lot going on in this game. Right? Of course, the Packers, as Charch broke it down, they're going to be without really their three top wide receivers. And they have to travel on a short week to Arizona. The Cardinals are 7-0. They're the last undefeated team. They don't need any more help or any advantages in this matchup. And yet the Packers, right, traveling short week without three receivers, without their defensive coordinator. But on the flip side, you're also going to be without J.J. Watt for the Cardinals. Looks like he is going to be out for the rest of the season. Continues to be a problem for J.J. Watt in his career. Can't stay healthy. But there's a lot of interesting things around this game. Like I said, for the Packers, plenty of concerns. No receivers, no defensive coordinator. Short week, on the road, long trip. In fact, the Packers will be moving over what is it, two time zones to Arizona? And when teams make this long of a trip on Thursday night football, they're 1-13 all time when they have to travel this far on a short week. The only win, oddly enough, was the Packers last year. They went out to San Francisco and beat the 49ers. So they'll try to do it again. But the NFL put in this rule, or they got rid of a rule with Thursday night football. Originally, you could not go across multiple time zones on a short week. But then when Thursday night football went to Fox, it was part of the negotiation. Fox said, if we're going to take on Thursday night football, we want more interesting games. You can't restrict us. So the NFL, right, of course, money always talks. They said, okay, sure, we'll give you more interesting games. And this is one of those, Packers-Cardinals, where they're forcing the Packers to travel longer than teams normally do on a short week. Teams that have to travel this far, like I said, 1-13 all time, but the one win was last year by the Packers. From a betting perspective, the teams haven't been much better. They're 1-12-1 against the spread in these situations. And then you talk about Rodgers as missing all his wide receivers. Well, Aaron is 6-0 without Devontae Adams in his career. In fact, Aaron Rodgers averages more passing yards in the games that Devontae Adams doesn't play than the games he does play. 6-0. And I've always shared my theory about that, star wide receiver. Teams oftentimes are better without them because you could play a little more team ball. You could spread it around instead of trying to force it to one guy. And it's a big number tonight, the spread. 6.5. 7-0 versus 6-1. Aaron Rodgers in this game. Thursday night football, and the Cardinals are favored by 6.5. I'm surprised by that. I know the Packers have all sorts of injuries. This number really ballooned after the Devontae Adams news. For Aaron Rodgers, it's the second largest spread, second largest underdog he has been in his regular season career. But if you include the playoffs, Rodgers has been an underdog of over 6 points 6 times in his career. He has covered the spread in 4 of the 6 games. Now, when it comes to winning straight up, he's won just 1 of those 6 games. So these are games, and Rodgers is this big of an underdog, he usually doesn't win these games, but he at least keeps them close, closer than expected. And by the way, the over-under tonight is 51. It's the fourth highest point total of the weekend. You would expect some points with these two teams, but the unders are hitting at about 70% for primetime games this year. Primetime games historically are lower scoring. I don't know why. I could understand for Thursday, it's a short week. You're still recovering from the previous game. You know, you couldn't game plan as much. The visiting team may be a little jet-lagged. I don't understand why Sunday night or Monday night football are lower scoring as well. But when games tend to be a little lower scoring, and I don't think this will be a defensive battle per se, but point being, when there's our fewer points scored, it's harder to run away from a team. All that is to say, I think the Cardinals win tonight, but I'm going to take the Packers. This seems like a trap. It seems like Vegas wants you to take the Packers. I may be falling right into the trap. A lot of the numbers say avoid the Packers. Long trip on a short week, missing 3 wide receivers, going up against a 7-0 Cardinals team. But if you're going to give Aaron Rodgers, you're going to give me Rodgers and 6.5, I got to take it. Packers are 6-1 against the spread this year as well. I think the Cardinals win, but they don't cover. We'll talk with Lee Sterling next, get his picks of the weekend in Hour 3.